Some in Canada do not like the intrusion of U.S. American interests on their cultural turf. Here we go again. I can just see the look on your face. You get into some of this in the book, but it's, you know, we've got the Tea Party thing going on, and the same thing exists in the poetry world. I mean, would you say that's very similar?
I wouldn't have thought of that analogy, but you're an American, so you'd know it better than I would. It's important, I think, to give some context to this situation. During the 1960s, Pierre Trudeau came up in Ottawa, our version of Kennedy mania or Beatle mania. Canada was yearning for something to become modern. One of the things that Pierre Trudeau did, he was an intellectual, he was a cosmopolitan man, he was well-traveled, interesting fellow in his time. He really began encouraging Canadian culture, expressions of Canadian culture, and for the first time in a long while, the Canadian government began throwing a lot of money or investing a lot of money in Canadian culture. So there was a publishing renaissance, there was a poetry renaissance, a literature renaissance, and much of that was tied in with this whole idea of Canada really stepping forward out of the shadow of Britain and France and of the United States. And there were a number of things that happened in Canada to give us a great deal of pride. We had a huge World Expo in Montreal. We had, you know, an Olympic Games in the 70s, I think, in Montreal. There was an efflorescence of filmmaking in Quebec. It was French-Canadian, but we all took a lot of pride in that, the work of people like Claude Joutre, Mon Oncle Antoine, those kind of films. We also had that real efflorescence in songwriting, something that Canadians just, I mean, I don't know if a lot of our American friends, you know, appreciate that. You know, Neil Young coming out of Winnipeg, I think Ian Tyson, maybe the best of all our songwriters out of Alberta, working in New York City with Ian and Sylvia for a long time, Gordon Lightfoot, people like that.
Joni Mitchell, Bruce Coburn.
On and on and on. And these are major, major world forces. Leonard Cohen coming out. So we had this situation in Canada that there was a lot of pride-making involved in our culture and pride-taking in it. And we had to struggle. You know, we live in the shadow of a very large neighbor, the United States, which has got that gigantic media industry. And so it's always a challenge to keep a Canadian culture going. And for that reason, there has been some sensitivity about, let's say, the intrusion of American culture into our lives up here. That's not something that alarms me that much. I lived in the United States for a few years. Many of my great teachers were American, Allen Ginsberg, Gary Snyder, and people of those natures. I think of others, you know, the Joanne Kiger, maybe the great the most neglected poet in North America, a lot of people would say. These are great teachers, but I don't think of any of them waving a flag. I think of Pacific Coast culture, I think of kind of world culture, just now culture, world, what's happening.
Man, the interesting thing is the flag that any of those folks might wave would be a globe, a flag of a globe, or you know, these are the kind of people, if they're anything like me, wince when they see displays of jingoism or patriotism, whether it be U.S. or Canadian. What was the line, patriotism is the last refuge of scoundrels, and that goes. But that gets us back to our point is, can we transcend nations? Can we look at a different organizing principle? Can we look at a bioregional organizing principle? Instead of drawing lines on a map, how about where the watersheds go? I think that's the essence of what Gary Snyder's talking about and what you're getting to in the book.
Well, that's that point there. That's the understanding of this book here, that we're reading British Columbia and Pacific Northwest literature. That's the idea. We're blurring that border if we can. And one of the neat things that's come out of this project is meeting people, let's say, at Western Washington University in Bellingham, who are now interested in getting involved, let's say, with us out in the Fraser Valley and maybe having some student exchanges, maybe having some of the instructor exchanges. Hey, what are you guys doing down there in Bellingham? What's happening in Washington State? What's happening up there in British Columbia? You know, the border is very real, and during the last couple of administrations in the United States, it's become even more real for people. So maybe younger people coming up don't have quite as much access as before, perhaps, to meeting people. We'd like to see a little more of that back and forth, that kind of old reciprocity across the border, people swapping ideas about culture, about how we make it a better place. I mean, that's what our job is.
And the tightening of the border works both ways, because when the United States does something reactionary, quite often there's a reaction from Canada. They asked me how much money I had in my checking account today, you know, and it's like, whoa, that's not not exactly something I usually get into with folks.